We're looking at the book of 1 Thessalonians, and today we've come to chapter 3, 1 Thessalonians, chapter 3. We're going to begin in verse 1. And as we begin in what we have in our Bibles, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, let's remember that Paul did not divide this book up into chapters. And this also means that Paul is continuing what he's just talked about in chapter 2. He mentioned the persecutions that these people were facing from their own countrymen. And he talks about the fact in chapter 2 that he had wanted to come and visit them time and again, but Satan had hindered him. So he ends that chapter talking about his great love for these people and how that he was really glad for them and that they were his hope and his joy and his crown. So here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, we find that Paul continues that thought. Remember, Paul and Silas and Timothy went to Thessalonica in Acts 17 to teach the gospel. They taught and they baptized a number of people. And those people were new converts. They needed much teaching. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the city and they ran Paul out. Paul did not get to stay in Thessalonica and ground these new converts as much as he may have liked, but he had to leave. And from there, he went to Berea and had great success there. And from Berea, we find that he went to Athens. But he never forgot the saints in Thessalonica. In fact, he was concerned about them because they were new Christians, because they didn't understand some things, and especially because, as new Christians, they were being persecuted. So this made Paul wonder about how they were doing. Were they standing strong, or had they fallen away? Did all his work there do any good, or was it all in vain? He had these feelings for some time as he labored in Berea and then in Athens. And finally, he couldn't wait any longer. He really wanted to know how these Christians were doing for his own peace of mind. And this is what 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1 is all about. If there's one thing that people in the early church could see, it was how much Paul loved these churches. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28, Paul talked about the care, that is, the concern that he had for all the churches. And we see this as Paul writes these letters to these congregations. We see it especially in the book of 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, as Paul has that great love for these people who had such a troubled church. And we see it in all of his letters. Paul was sincere about the church. And all we have to do is read these words to see how much he was concerned about them. Now let's begin in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. Here is where Paul said, "Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother, and minister of God, and our fellow soldier in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith." Now, what we find back in Acts chapter 17 is the history of what Paul is discussing here. In Acts chapter 17, as the Bible opens that chapter, we find in Acts 17, beginning in verse 2, that Paul was at Thessalonica preaching the gospel. We know that in verse 5 of Acts 17, the unbelieving Jews ran him out, and the brethren sent Paul and Silas by night to Berea. He preached the gospel there, had good reception among those Bereans, and then the Bible says that the same thing happened in Berea. In Acts chapter 17, verse 13, "But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came hither also and stirred up the people." They did the same thing in Berea that they did in Thessalonica. So Paul had to leave Berea. And here's where it gets interesting, and this is where it ties into what we just read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. In Acts 17, verse 14, the Bible says, "And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea, but Silas and Timotheus abode there still." that is, at Berea. And in verse 15, "And they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus, for to come to him with all speed, they departed." So for a while, Silas and Timothy remained in Berea, but Paul said that he wanted them to come there. Now that takes you to Acts chapter 17, beginning in verse 16, where the Bible talks about Paul's work in the city of Athens. Now the Bible doesn't specifically say that Timothy and Silas went to Athens, but evidently they did, because Paul sent Timothy back to Thessalonica. We don't know what happened to Silas. We don't know where Paul sent him, if he did send him. But this is important. This is interesting. Why? Because Athens was not a very welcome place to the gospel. As a matter of fact, when Paul began to reason with some of the people in the city of Athens, they said that he was a setter forth of strange gods. They said that he was a babbler. And after Paul preached the gospel to these people in Acts chapter 17, the Bible says in verse 32 that some of those people mocked him. So that's the situation that Paul was working with there in Athens. He didn't have the reception that he got in the city of Berea. And so what happened then at Athens is that Paul was still thinking about these people in Thessalonica. Now, I want you to notice and think about how unselfish Paul was. This is true Christianity. Paul is in an environment in Acts chapter 17 that is not easy. He is not being welcomed like he was in other places. These people are hardened. These people are not open to the gospel. For the most part, there were a few, but for the most part, they turn a deaf ear to the gospel. But Paul needed Timothy with him at Athens, but in spite of that, he needed more to know that these Christians at Thessalonica were doing all right. So Paul said, "I couldn't stand it any longer. That is, I had these feelings about you. I wanted to know how you were doing." And in spite of the fact that Paul could have used Timothy there, he sent him back to Thessalonica, he says, to establish you. That is, to teach you and to ground you even further in the truth and to comfort you concerning your faith. So Paul said, "I sent him back there primarily for those two reasons, because Timothy was a faithful man." And you'll notice that as Paul discusses these plans and these missions and works with these churches, that he oftentimes sent Timothy. And Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 through 21 tells us that he didn't have anybody like Timothy that was as sincere and dependable as that young man was. So he sent him back to Thessalonica to teach these people, to ground them better, to strengthen them, and to build them up in the faith. And especially, Paul said, to comfort you concerning your faith. Why would they need comfort? Because of all the persecution that they faced. Now, this is what Paul was concerned about. He knew that these people were being persecuted. He was persecuted himself. He was run out of that place. And so Paul left the city of Thessalonica because these people, the unbelieving Jews, were stirring up persecution. But those Christians that were in the city of Thessalonica were left there, and they were left there to endure that persecution. So although Paul worked in Berea, and although he's there in Athens, and even though at Athens he's not getting a good reception, he's still thinking about those Christians back at Thessalonica. Now that's true Christian love. That is a great example of being unselfish in the Christian life. Now notice in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, that Paul sent Timothy back to Thessalonica to instruct them, but also to encourage them in the face of all the afflictions that they faced. Now remember that it is the unbelieving Jews that are stirring up this persecution. And those unbelieving Jews were at Thessalonica. These Christians had to contend with that. So the Bible tells us in verse 3 that Timothy was sent there to teach them that no man should be moved by these afflictions. That is, the opposition of non-Christians, the persecution of people outside the church. Don't be moved by these afflictions. And that reminds us of what Paul said to the elders of the church at Ephesus in Acts 20, verse 24. Paul talked about the afflictions that he was about to face. But he said, "But none of these things move me, neither do I count my life dear to myself." And he wants these same people in Thessalonica in the church to have that kind of attitude and to have that kind of faith. Don't be moved by these persecutions and trials. "For," he says, "yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto." In other words, it is our lot in life to suffer persecution as Christians. It is our duty. It is a part of Christianity. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, that just as Jesus suffered, we should follow in his steps. And the book of 1 Peter has a lot to say about the subject of persecution. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, the Bible says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." And in Acts 14, verse 22, the Bible says that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. So Paul says in verse 4, "For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation." That is, Paul says, we taught you. We showed you that this is part of the Christian life. He said, "even as it came to pass, and you know." Now, this is an important lesson, and it is a good reminder for us today that in the church, we need to teach new Christians about persecution. We need to remind people that there will be hard times ahead when you live the Christian life. As a matter of fact, Jesus said that we should tell people something that is somewhat about this even before they're converted, because Jesus taught in Luke chapter 14, beginning in verse 26, that people need to count the cost of being one of his disciples and be ready to bear the cross. So in verse 5, Paul goes back to how he started this chapter in verse 1. He says, "For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith." That is, I sent Timothy there to know your faith, to see how you were doing, lest by some means the tempter, that is the devil, and notice back in chapter 2 that Paul referred to the devil by the familiar word Satan, which means an adversary. He called him Satan in chapter 2, verse 18. Now he refers to him as the tempter. The Bible calls him both. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 3, the Bible talks about the tempter coming to Jesus. He said, "I wanted to know about your faith, lest by some means the tempter, the devil, have tempted you and our labor be in vain." So that's why Timothy was sent. And the good news is that Timothy went there, and Timothy was able to tell Paul that they were doing fine, that they were enduring, that they had not given up, and they had not given in to persecution. Notice what he says beginning in verse 6. "But now when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings," that is, good news, "of your faith and charity, and that you have good remembrance of us always, greatly desiring to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith, for now we live if you stand fast in the Lord."